Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
Book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Let's turn there if we can. We're doing this study on the book of Proverbs, and last week we introduced it. This week we're going to jump right into the very first lesson or message, I believe, is in the book of Proverbs. So let's turn over there to Proverbs chapter 1. Somebody tell me who the primary author of Proverbs is. Solomon. We found that out last week because we studied and discovered that the first six verses of the book of Proverbs are the title of Proverbs. In fact, it's the largest title of any book in the Old Testament. So let's read these seven verses together, verses 1 through 7 of Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read out loud together. So those of you that don't have a New King James Version, that's okay. There are a lot of good ones. But just for the sake of reading aloud, follow along on the screen so we can all read the same words. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, reading loudly and together. Let's read. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Just to reiterate last week what we said, Solomon starts off in verse 1 by saying, I'm the author, Solomon, the son of David, and I'm king of Israel. Absolutely right. And then in verses 2 through 4, he outlines the purpose of the book, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. In other words, to make people that are not so sharp, sharp, to make people that are not spiritually minded understand spiritual things. He goes on to say, to the young man, the guy that thinks he knows. How many of you know you get to a certain age as a young person and you think you know about everything? Isn't that right? Your parents get really dumb all of a sudden. And you think they're old, they don't know what's up, it ain't happening, and so they're still in old school, right? But I know what's up now, me and my friends. See, we talk, and so we know about life, you know? And right? And young people, they think they know. But here, Solomon says, that's one of the reasons why I'm writing, to give the young man knowledge and discretion. Discretion is wisdom that keeps you from future trouble. And then after verse 4, in verses 5 and 6, Solomon says, now here's how you ought to receive it. A wise man will hear, listen up to what I'm saying, and increase knowledge. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Ask for help, he goes on to say, to understand a proverb and an enigma, something hard to understand, the words of the wise and their riddles. In other words, if you're wise, you will pay attention. If you're wise, you'll be here. And I told you that the Hebrew of this says, if you're wise, you'll be in every message Pastor Jerry brings, right? Well, that was a loose interpretation. But let me tell you, the message there, the underlying truth is, yes, God is inspiring these proverbs, these two-line poems that are to be lodged into the memory banks of a young person's heart, so that at a key strategic choice, a why in the road, a proverb will come to them and lead them in the right way. He says, listen, if you're wise, you will open your heart and your ears up to understand what these proverbs are saying. And if you're really a man of understanding, you'll find somebody that can help you, can help explain them to you. So even the ones that you don't understand, you'll go, aha, I understand it. But you know, fools don't do that. Fools hate somebody telling them something that they don't know. And we're going to talk more about the fool as it goes on. But verse 7 mentions it, so I bring it up there. Now, after the title, verses 1 through 6, here's what we came to last week. The very first thing that Solomon writes in the book itself after the title is this, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Where do we start? You start at the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Listen up, parents. You want to know where to start with your kids? You want to know what the foundation, the fundamental teaching is? is to teach them the fear of the Lord. Not to walk around scared that God's going to pounce on them, but to walk around with a heavy reverence of God that says, He knows, He sees, He's everywhere. There is no way I can hide. My parents can speed down the road and not get caught most of the time, not get a ticket. And because they know there aren't enough policemen to watch every car on every street, every day and every night, then they take the risk and go ahead and go faster than the speed limit because they know the odds are in their favor. But eventually, see, it'll catch up, right? But it's not that way with God. Are you listening? Life doesn't always teach you the truth about God. Sometimes there is a message in life that parallels a truth of God. But when it comes to God, He is unlike policemen. He is unlike your teachers at school. He is unlike your parents, young person. He doesn't just see certain things. He sees everything. He knows everything. He even sees the thoughts in your heart that you have not even acted out yet. See? The fear of the Lord, Solomon says, that's the beginning. That's where I want to start with you today. Hold your place there in Proverbs, and I want to read to you from the book of Job. Job chapter 28. Somebody says, can anything good come out of Job? Well, listen to this. From Job chapter 28, I want to begin at verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. Verse 23, notice this. God understands its way and He knows its place. For He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. In other words, God's perspective is unlike anybody else's. God sees everything at the same time, past, present, future. See, God understands the way of wisdom. He knows its place, for He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When He made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then He saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it indeed. He searched it out. And to man He said, now listen to what God says to man, human beings. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Somebody tell me what the Lord said wisdom is. He said, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. In other words, He's saying, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you have no wisdom. As smart as you are, as educated as you are, as intellectual as you are, bright, sharp, funny, as great of a people person, as many friends as you have, as much money as you can acquire. God said, no, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So here Solomon brings up, totally different guy in a totally different span of time, chronologically, Solomon, having received this wisdom from God we studied last week, says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. You want to know where to start? Listen, the fear of the Lord. In fact, I suggest to you, any of you that are disciples of new Christians, I suggest to you that in your discipling, not only is the love of Jesus, the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins important to start with, but did you know that if somebody doesn't understand the fear of the Lord, the grace of the Lord doesn't seem all that important. The forgiveness of God doesn't seem so important if I don't realize what a sinner I have been. If I don't realize how destitute I was, how desperate I have been. If I don't realize what the end of my life was tracking toward, hell itself. See, if I don't understand the fear of the Lord, If I don't understand the tremendous gap between a man that is born in sin, destitute of righteousness or any acceptance from God, then I don't understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand how good God has been. I don't understand the importance of the blood of Jesus, see? And so often one will just come up and say, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. But we didn't do what Paul did in the book of Romans, where he starts off with the downward spiral of man, human beings, sinning, and the place that it takes them, and then coming to the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. No, but there is none righteous, no, not one. But then as he goes on and proves his point that there is not one human being that is worthy or can in and of himself make any choices or change any behaviors or attitudes to come to an acceptance of a holy God, he is helplessly and hopelessly bound for hell. Then in chapter 5, he begins to bring out that there's a free gift called righteousness that comes through the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. And all of a sudden, life gets better. Chapters 4 and 5 of Romans, and then all of a sudden life gets better and you realize, thank God, he's so good. But let me tell you, only the people that understand the fear of the Lord, only the people that understand the way of the world and where it's going, understand the grace of the Lord Jesus and what a blessing it is to be under Him, to where you realize every time I make a mistake, I don't get kicked out of the family. Oh no, 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 no. Your fellowship may be broken by sin, but your relationship is intact because it's based not on your own righteousness. Somebody say, thank God. But it's based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? But listen, listen. That is the great conclusion to the story that everybody needs to accept. But so many people don't because they don't have the fear of the Lord. Are you listening to me? Without the fear of the Lord, they're not at all motivated to live for Jesus or to receive Jesus or to do anything in approaching a holy God. So Solomon says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't know anything if you don't know the fear of the Lord. And so, as much as we would like to avoid talking about this subject, as much as we would like to not think about the horror of the judgments of God, if we as the body of Christ do not come to the Word and allow the Word just to speak to us straight from the heart of God, straight from the wisdom of God about how things play out in people's lives, and how the judgment of God comes, if we don't allow this to come into our hearts, then we won't be receiving the nutrition, a healthy diet of the reality, and therefore we'll be less than grateful and thankful for the grace of the Lord Jesus. And if we don't watch it, that can eventually slip into a compromise, thinking that we're walking in the grace of the Lord Jesus, not realizing that we're walking in outright disobedience to God because we no longer value what grace has done for us. I know that's a mouthful, but let me tell you, that is a powerful reality. And so often in Christian circles, we talk about the grace of God, which, thank God, is so wonderful to experience and to receive and to walk in. But because we don't want to talk about any of the other things that will play out, every eye will see these things play out. Doesn't the Bible say every knee will bow? Every tongue will confess that He's Lord. He's not talking about everybody getting down. He is the Lord, isn't He? No, He's talking about judgment coming. And at judgment, the knees will bow. But listen, for most it will be too late. Though their knee bows then, it will do them no good at that point. Now, you understand what I'm saying? See, these are realities, see? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But notice what it goes on to say, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I want to say this right now. There are some people sitting in this room tonight who, as we approach this subject and talk about it in the reality of what the Bible shares and explains, will have a tendency, a temptation to say, I don't want to go there anymore. I want to switch churches. I don't need all that stuff, heavy stuff. I need to go someplace where I just get encouragement every week. Man, my life is tough enough as it is. Man, I've got too many things on my head. I don't need another thing to think about, another thing to be concerned about. And you'd have the temptation to walk away and to say, I don't want that anymore. Other people are, as we begin to go through these wisdom points and subjects of Proverbs, would say, I don't want to do it like that. I don't need that. No, I can keep doing it like I'm doing it, and it hasn't hurt me so far. See, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools do not want to hear it. But a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will even attain wise counsel so that he can understand these things. I don't know about you, but I don't just want the beginning of knowledge. I want the knowledge of God. But to start off and to begin to receive the knowledge of God, we have to take a peek here and begin to understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Now, let me just point something out. As we go through these various topics of the book of Proverbs, I'm going to give you some little notations that I do in my Bible. And I'm going to put a letter or a couple of letters next to verses all through the book of Proverbs so that as I read through, I can chain link certain subjects, because these Proverbs are primarily two-line poems, and they're abstract. They're not connected necessarily to the next scripture. But these certain topics continue to come up repeatedly, like the fear of the Lord, like fools, like riches and financial things, like sexual things. We're going to talk about sexual things. I mean, sexual things are the primary sin that Solomon spends time warning about in the book of Proverbs. It's the primary, see? So we're going to get in and talk about these. So for the fear of the Lord, if you want to track through these scriptures, I suggest you just write a little FL next to all these scriptures that we're going to touch on tonight, FL. So next to verse 7, if you'd like to track it like I do in my Bible, just write a little FL. And by the way, maybe I'll give you a copy of what I do. At the beginning of Proverbs, I just put FL dash fear of the Lord. So I have a little guide here, a table of contents, so that I know what all these marks mean and I don't have to remember them. Okay, let's look over now at chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9. And notice verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Notice the same phrase, but this time instead of saying knowledge, he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. So not only is the fear of the Lord where you start with knowledge, the fear of the Lord is where you start with wisdom. If you want to be a person that has wisdom, you must understand the fear of the Lord. If you want your children to be wise, they must have a healthy fear of the Lord in their hearts. And it says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In other words, it's not just knowing about God, but knowing God. The more you know God and understand God, the more you will have understanding of the Scripture. We're going to turn rather quickly tonight. Let's turn over to chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And notice it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now, I told you last week that the word instruction in the book of Proverbs means discipline. Discipline. There is a discipline in wisdom. You cannot walk in wisdom and not walk in discipline. Are you listening to me? You cannot, because it takes discipline to walk in wisdom. Wisdom tells you, don't eat that. Well, it takes discipline not to eat that, right? Because it's good, right? It tastes good. Look at it. I like those. I like that. Everybody else is eating one of those. I want to eat one of those, right? Well, wisdom says, don't eat it. Don't smoke it. Don't snort it, right? But they're doing it. Yeah, but wisdom says, don't do it. It takes discipline to walk in wisdom. You cannot expect just to gain some type of factual knowledge in your head, and now you have wisdom. No, there is a discipline in wisdom. But notice what Solomon says. How does the discipline come? The fear of the Lord is the discipline of wisdom. You will not have the discipline to obey God if you don't have a healthy fear of the Lord. Are you listening to me? Now, let's talk about fear. Fear, the fear of the Lord. I know that fear means reverence, and many of you have studied and heard messages on fearing God, and they talk about reverence and such. The word fear in the Hebrew is yirah, yirah, and yirah means fear. It means terror. Yirah means an awesome or terrifying thing. An awesome or terrifying thing. And it does mean respect. It does mean reverence. But let me tell you, I don't want you to get the idea that it just means, okay, I salute God. There you go. I respect you. Okay, you're God. Yeah, that's right. You're God. You're God. Because if all I do is recognize that you're God and I'm not, you're above and I'm a human being, but it does not, it does not concern me to go against what you're telling me to do, then let me tell you, as much as you call that respect and reverence, I say to you, that's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is being afraid that God will do what He said He's going to do. The fear of the Lord is being afraid that the way the Bible says things are going to play out is the way they're going to play out. The fear of the Lord is saying, God said, don't do that because sin leads to death. But all these guys, it doesn't look like it's leading to death for them. But the fear of the Lord says, I believe what God says more than I believe what I'm seeing with my eyes in their life. Is that right? Because sinners are sinning and it looks like, man, things are going good for them. And God says, but the wages of sin is death. Isn't that right? See, the fear of the Lord says, I believe God. I'm afraid that God's right. Every person on earth needs the fear of the Lord. Everybody. Everybody needs to understand that though it looks like God's word is not always happening the way He said it will always turn out. Are you listening to me? It will always turn out exactly the way God said it would. And every young person in your home needs to understand God is always right. He's always right. If God says, don't do it, let me tell you, you better not do it. Doesn't matter who else is doing it. You better not do it. Why? Because if you don't do it, when judgment comes, you're going to be on the right side of God. Amen. That's where I want to be. See? So, it's fear. It really is a terror. But it's not a terror. Listen, when you get over on the right side of the Lord, because of a fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord, you don't walk being afraid of God. I know when I was a kid, my dad, you know, from the old school, he'd whoop us with his belt. But if he didn't have his belt on, he'd find anything, you know. He'd take his hand and smack us, and sometimes we'd be walking down the hall passing each other, and he'd reach up to scratch his head, and I'd jump like this. And you know what he'd do? He'd go, ha ha, you thought I was going to get you. He got a kick out of it. He liked it. You thought I was going to get you. You thought I was going to get you. And he'd do it again. You thought I was going to get you. And I was afraid. I was afraid. I remember one time I sassed my mom. I mean, I just gave her a bad time, and she said, all right, wait till your father gets home. I knew I was sunk, man. Now, let me tell you, because my dad was, he was dependable. I mean, if mom says you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And so I don't know where I got it from, but I had this rabbit skin. And so I took this rabbit skin, I shoved it down in my pants. I knew it was coming, man. And so I shoved it down in my pants. Dad came home, and mom talked to dad, and dad, Jerry! He walks in there, taking off his belt and everything. No, Dad! No, Dad! I was playing it up like, no, Dad! Like normal. Give me your hand! And he whacked me two or three times, which was the beginning of a spanking. It ain't like these things nowadays, you know, where a swat. There was no such thing as a swat. You got whooped, okay? And so, about the third time, he stops and says, what do you have in your pants? Nothing, nothing. Lying like a dog. Nothing, nothing. Let me see what you got in there. And I pulled out the rabbit skin. Thank God he started laughing. Oh, happy day. He started laughing. Look at him. He's going to put a rabbit skin in him. Look at him. He got a kick out of that. You know why I did that, though? You know why I did that? The fear of my dad. That's why I did that. Because, see, I was convinced that what my mom said was going to happen. I was convinced. And so I got ready for it. But let me tell you something. Listen. Listen to me. There is no one more loving than God. There is no one more gracious than God. But no rabbit skin. You hearing what I'm saying? There is no way around Him. You will not be able to play it off and joke it off and make Him laugh and forget about it. He loves you with a passion. He is speaking to you. He is trying to get your attention. And if you open your heart to Him, He will shed love and blessing and grace and forgiveness and protection all over you. But if you harden your heart to Him, listen to me, regardless of what church you go to, if you harden your heart to Him and He continues to speak to you and speak to you and warn you and sends other people to tell you and you get offended at them and stop hanging around them and not go to that church anymore because they're always telling me something that I don't want to hear, the day will come, you can be assured, where what God said He will do, He will do. Does He want it to be that way? Absolutely not. That's not God's best. That's not God's desire. But He does give each of us a choice. See? So it's the fear of the Lord. It's not just a reverence like I respect God, I salute Him. No. I call Him the big man upstairs and all of that stuff that we hear people say. A healthy fear of the Lord is a discipline that will alter your behavior. And when you do sin and mess up, you don't justify it and say, big deal, big deal. You open it up for the Lord and say, God, I know You're dealing with me about that. Lord, forgive me. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, what is He faithful and just to do? Forgive us. See, listen, what I'm not talking about, what God's not talking about is, people with the fear of the Lord live perfectly and they never mess up. That's not what He's saying. He's saying people that have the fear of the Lord are people that have understood wisdom and they're understanding how things function in this world and that God is ultimately in charge and it's going to come out the way God said it'll come out. And because of that, when it comes to a decision and I know God's speaking to me about something, I've got to go the way of the Lord. I've got to do it, see. And everybody, adults and children alike, must have this, the fear of the Lord. 8:13, Proverbs 8:13, says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Notice, if you fear God, you hate sin. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you have found yourself condoning, tolerating, even justifying sin, evil, see, pride, arrogance, the evil way, the perverse mouth, then you know that you're deficient in the fear of the Lord. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying that you're deficient in the fear of the Lord because the fear of the Lord will cause you to say, wait a minute, I don't want that. The fear of the Lord believes that sin is going to hurt people's lives. Sin is going to destroy people's lives. The fear of the Lord says, I believe that to the point that I hate what sin does in people. See? Now look over at chapter 3. We're going to bounce around here. The fear of the Lord reaps tremendous benefits. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What does that mean? You're going to be tempted to say, this compromise is not any big deal. You're going to be tempted. People do it all the time. They think they have a better idea than God. It's okay for me to date an unbeliever. It's okay for me to marry an unbeliever. That's all right. What? What? I'm a believer, and this is the person that I love. But the Bible says don't do it. Isn't that right? See, the fear of the Lord doesn't think that it has a better idea. You won't think you have a better idea than God if you fear the Lord. Notice again, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Notice, the fear of the Lord will even bring health to your body. Is that right? It'll keep sicknesses and diseases from coming to you that would have come to you had you not been walking in the fear of the Lord and in the wisdom of God. Chapter 10, verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. What does that mean? That means that if you get the fear of the Lord in your heart, your life will be lengthened. Is that right? How many of you know that the Bible talks to children and God says to children, children, I mean, speaks directly to one of the only verses in the Bible that talks directly to kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's the first of the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it that says, if you will honor your parents, God will give you a longer life than you would have had. I don't know about you, that's a good thing. But notice, why would kids do that? Here's why. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And by the way, kids learn fear. We're going to talk to parents. Kids learn the fear of the Lord by parents being consistently right with them, so that they understand what mom and dad say is what mom and dad mean. And when parents are inconsistent, it eventually turns into a belief somehow that God is inconsistent. And you never know if God's really going to do what He said. But let me tell you, even if parents are inconsistent, how many of you know God is always consistent? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. So that's the last one. Excuse me. Chapter 14. I went backwards instead of forwards. 14:26. Listen to this. The fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. Notice what he says. If you will be a person that fears the Lord, your children, when they get up and get out of the house, they'll always know if they get into trouble, they can run right back to your house, because your house has the fear of the Lord. Therefore, it's confidence. See, it's a refuge. This is a healthy home that your children can run back to. How many children there are that have gone astray, but they have no home to come back to? Hey, let me tell you, we need to have the fear of the Lord so that God can establish us as a healthy family, so that if our kids ever get into trouble, they know where they can go. Comes from the fear of the Lord. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. A fountain. How many of you know, when you go to a fast food restaurant, most fast food restaurants have free refills. In fact, they put the soda fountain right out there where you can get to it. You know what a fountain is? A fountain is something that continues to flow. That's what a fountain is. It's different than handing somebody a glass of water. A glass of water gives you a glass. A fountain means there's a continual flow. This proverb says that the fear of the Lord will be a continual flow in your life. Notice, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Now, what does that mean? The good life, love, peace in your heart, joy in your heart, provision in your life, blessing, friendships, quality of life. That's what he's talking about. If you have the fear of the Lord, you'll have a steady flow of quality of life coming to you. Why? Because you're under the blessings of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. It will keep you from all of the pitfalls and the traps that sin and death have planned for you. Notice chapter 15, 16th verse. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. How many of you would trade the fear of the Lord for $1 million? How about $1 billion? How about $10 billion? How about switching places with Bill Gates, becoming the richest man in the world? Would you trade the fear of God? Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, listen, better is a little. Hey, it's better that we be dirt poor. Isn't that right? Hey, we could do this. We can make all this money. Yeah, but it's illegal. Yeah, but man, look at this opportunity. We won't get caught. Listen, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Chapter 16, verse 6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. You could get it in your head, okay, I'm going to stop sinning. Mind over matter, willpower, I got to do it. I'm not going to do it anymore. No, that's not how you get it. You know how you depart from evil? The fear of the Lord. When you realize the love of God as well as the awesome justice of God, it'll put a healthy fear in you, and you'll begin to say, I'm not doing that anymore. And with God's help, even some of you that have addictions, sexual addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions and such, let me tell you something. When you have a healthy fear of the Lord, you'll turn to God and say, God, help me. God, I don't want to do this anymore. And the Lord will help you. Listen, He knows you can't do it on your own. He knows you don't have the strength to break those powers. A lot of those things are not just physiological. A lot of them are spiritual addictions. There are evil spirits that have come in and bound you spiritually. A healthy fear of the Lord will come to God and say, Lord, help me, and God will help you. Listen to me. We're not talking about you just mustering up the willpower to be perfect. But we're talking about you refusing to ignore sin, refusing to hide it from God, refusing to justify it as being okay when clearly God says it's not. And you come to God, let me tell you something, His grace is always more than your sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isn't that what the Bible says? So His grace abounds and forgives you every single time. So we're not talking about people that have an addiction or have a problem that are coming to God for forgiveness. No, that's a fear of the Lord to do that. We're talking about the people who are not coming to God. The people who are not asking Him for help, justifying, ignoring, hiding it, knowing that God is saying that's wrong. See? That is a deficiency, at least to some extent, of the fear of the Lord. Let's look at chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Boy, I like that, don't you? Anybody in here want to be visited with evil? No, but notice it says, if you have the fear of the Lord, you'll abide in satisfaction. That's called fulfillment. That's called fulfillment. Fulfillment doesn't come from a certain amount of money. Fulfillment doesn't come from the right relationship. Fulfillment comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. Whatever relationships you have, whatever amount of money you have, whatever home you live in, car you drive, let me tell you something, your heart will still be unfulfilled, but in the fear of the Lord. See, if you operate and live your life with the fear of the Lord, you'll abide in satisfaction. There'll be a healthy fulfillment in your heart that says, I've got the Lord. I'm right with God. I'm on His side. Chapter 22, verse 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So notice there that God blesses people that are humble and fear the Lord. Riches. Everybody say riches. Is that in the Bible? Somebody said, I thought God didn't want us to think about money. Well, if He didn't want us to think about it, He shouldn't have put it in there. What God doesn't want us to do is fall into the love of money or the deceitfulness of riches or greed to where we put money up as our God and we begin to serve money instead of God. No, we serve the Lord, but when you serve the Lord and have the fear of the Lord, notice that lifestyle allows God to bring riches and honor and life to your life. And isn't that a comfortable and a satisfying thing when God is providing for you and God is honoring you and bringing fulfillment in your heart? Now, I want everybody to turn to chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's take a look at this. Somebody would say, well, you know, Jerry, I know a lot of people, they don't know about all of this. And so how can they have a fear of the Lord when they don't know? They're not coming to church here. And some of you may say, well, I didn't know. I haven't known anything. This is the first I've ever heard about the fear of the Lord. I haven't known anything. Well, maybe this is the first you've heard somebody talk about the subject, the fear of the Lord. But I want you to notice what God says here in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. He says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. What does that mean? God is saying, listen, I'm calling out all the time. Man, I'm out there where the people are, in the open square. I'm out there, the hustle and bustle of life is going on. And God said, in the middle of all of that, I'm calling out. I'm yelling out. Is anybody listening to me? Anybody hearing me? And let me tell you something. If you'll stop and think about it, you'll have to admit, if you're honest with yourself, that there have been times where you were moving along with your life and something on the inside is screaming out, you're going the wrong way. But you chose not to listen. You chose to ignore it. You chose not to stop and to listen to what the Bible calls that still small voice where God says, I am screaming at you. Stop. Don't go the way of everybody else. Listen, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. And listen to what she says. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long, you naive ones? How long, you that don't understand what God's about and what His plan for your life is about? How long will you love to be in the dark about it? How long will you refuse to allow God to share it with you? How long will you seek for the world's approval and the world's way and the world's success and not come to the Lord your God and allow Him to speak to you and to show you what life is really all about? See, how long, you simple, naive, not so smart ones, will you love to live like that? And you fools, he goes on to say, and fools hate knowledge. Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn, God says, at my rebuke. What is he saying? I'm rebuking you. I'm telling you, you're going the wrong way. He says, turn at my rebuke. And what's he going to do? Surely, I'll smack you in the head. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Turn to me, and I'll kick you. No, what does he say? Listen. Listen to the love of God. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Is this a loving God? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. I will make my words known to you. Verse 24, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained, which means ignored, all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. In other words, when a big calamity comes to your life, wisdom says, I'll laugh at you. Why? Because you didn't pay any attention to me. You ignored me. You would have none of my counsel. You wouldn't listen to anything I told you. So when calamity hits, I will laugh at you. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they... Now, I want you to notice a transition between verse 27 and verse 28. Up until verse 27, God is saying, because you've ignored me, because you wouldn't listen, then I'm going to laugh at you in your calamity. But in verse 28, He stops talking to you. He says, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. In other words, God says, if you continue to turn your back on wisdom, wisdom will eventually turn her back on you. And then when you need God, God, I need you right now, God. God says, nope, not now. Nope, I gave you ample opportunity. I kept calling aloud, speaking to you, sending people to talk to you. You got offended at the people that came to you. You justified, ignored, refused, rebelled, became proud and arrogant. And wisdom goes on to say, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and notice, and did not, what's the next word?
Choose
the fear of the Lord. I tell you, the wisdom of God says the fear of the Lord must be chosen. You have to choose, I'm going to fear God in my life. And I'm going to show you in just a little bit how to acquire the fear of the Lord. He says, you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. And the complacency or of fools, in other words, fools that just never got around to turning to God. Just kind of, I always intended to, but I just never did. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But, verse 33 says, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Listen, the fear of the Lord must be chosen. God is calling and calling and calling. You need to know, we were created in the image of God. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody, tried to love them, tried to help them and such, and they continue to ignore you, even to mock you, make fun of you? And what do you do eventually? You say, I'm not going to say anymore. Isn't that right? Why? Because your feelings begin to be hurt. You begin to be injured on the inside by somebody not giving you any respect. Even the opposite. Don't you know God has feelings? Don't you know all through the Bible it talks about the anger of God and how He was sorry at different times He made man? I mean, God has emotions. He created us with the same type of emotions that He has. And the Lord is reaching out to every single one of us all the time, calling aloud, listen to me, listen to me. I'm trying to help you, trying to save you from the dangers that are out there in the world. Listen to wisdom. Listen to wisdom. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Now, look at chapter 2. Somebody said, how do I get wisdom? Or how do I get the fear of the Lord? I haven't had a healthy fear of the Lord. How do I get that? Notice chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words. Everybody say, my words. You need to understand something, congregation, about the importance of the words of God. God could have sent us anything to help us to live the Christian life. You know what He sent? He sent a book of words. There's something powerful about words, the words of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And here He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, same thing, the words, treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Son, your ear will not naturally be inclined to wisdom. But son, if you'll receive my words and force your ear to listen, make yourself go to church, make yourself read the Bible, make yourself listen to somebody teaching the word. Incline your ear, son, if you'll do it, if you'll incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, saying, God, help me. Lord, show me what to do. See, cry out, son, if you'll do these things for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, in other words, something valuable, apply your life as if you're going for what you used to go for, your dream, your ambition. But now you make your ambition God and His words. God, I've got to know what you're saying to me. I've got to know your will for my life. Lord, I need your words. If you'll search for them as silver and as for hidden treasures. Verse 5, then and only then, he could say, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. You're not going to find it anywhere else. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. From the Word of God. Listen, you want to know why we have a daily reading plan that we encourage you to do? It's certainly not because we think, well, man, if we provide a daily reading plan and encourage people and say, we read the Bible every day, people are just going to flock in here, oh, I want to read the Bible every day. No, that's not the way it works. See, that's the discipline of wisdom. You know why we do it? Because these words will paint an accurate picture of the love of God, the blessing of God, but also the judgments of God in your heart. And all of a sudden, you'll be able to understand how to function under the blessings of God. But His words coming into your heart, if you'll apply yourself and say, I've got to get these words, I've got to understand God's ways for my life, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. See, but it comes from the words. My son, if you receive my words, get my words, son. Yeah, you're busy. I know your schedule's packed. Son, I know you're working overtime. I know the traffic. I know the kids, the phone calls, the emails, all the stuff you've got, son. But listen, if you don't do anything else, son, you've got to spend time in my word. You've got to hear my word. Because if you'll seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll find the knowledge of God. Let me read to you something from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 17. How many of you know that the author is King Solomon? And King Solomon, the Bible says, we read it last week, was the wisest man on the face of the earth. Is that true? But how many of you know that King Solomon's life did not end up good? How many of you know his heart went away from the Lord? And he began to invest all of this wealth that he had into building altars and temples for foreign gods, the gods of his wives. Is that what the Bible says? And because of it, the Lord came and said, I'm going to strip away most of the kingdom away from you. He said, even though I promised your father that a descendant of his would sit on the throne forever, he said, because of your sin, I'm going to strip most of the tribes away from you. He said, but I'm not going to do it in your day because for the sake of your father David. Now see, there's a man after God's own heart. Not a perfect man. He sinned, didn't he? He sinned. But see, a man with the fear of the Lord. See? And so Solomon's life went astray. You want to know why Solomon's life went astray? Because Solomon had a healthy fear of the Lord and he knew wisdom. But he ceased doing what God said to do to keep the nutrients of the fear of the Lord in his heart. And I want to show you what God said that a king should do. Deuteronomy chapter 17, and I want to pick it up at verse 14. This is before they even got into the promised land. God is still speaking through Moses here. And he says this, "When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it and dwell in it, and say, 'I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me,' you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren. You shall set as king over you, and you may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother." Now notice verse 16. "But he shall not multiply horses for himself." Solomon did. "Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses." Solomon did. For the he traded with Egypt with horses and developed a tremendous horse trading business. It was one of the ways that he made lots of money. But he had to send some of the people of God back to Egypt. And God says, "I do not want my people back in Egypt." Egypt was a representation of sin. Bondage, see? God said, "I never want to send my people back to Egypt." He goes on to say, "For the Lord has said to you, 'You shall not return that way again.'" Verse 17, "Neither shall he multiply wives for himself." Solomon did. "Lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself." Solomon did. "Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book." What is he saying? The king needs to write for himself a copy of the Word. A copy of the Word of God. Notice. From the one before the priest, the Levites. Verse 19. "And it," the copy of the book, we would call it a Bible, "and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life." How many days? All the days of his life. Why should he do that? "That he may learn to fear the Lord his God." Is that what it says? "That he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren," or might not be lifted above his brethren, "that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." Solomon lost most of the kingdom for his descendants, and Rehoboam was only partially over one or two of the tribes when the nation was split, because, listen, he lost the fear of the Lord. He had it. Listen, he had it. But what did he fail to do? He failed to make a copy of the book and read it all the days of his life, because had he done that, he would have learned the fear of the Lord on a daily basis. And his heart would not have been lifted up to go against what God told him to do. And the throne of his father David would have continued to pass down from descendant to descendant to descendant. What does that tell us today? That tells us that a healthy fear of the Lord doesn't come just because one time we say, "Yes, I want the fear of the Lord." But it comes because we choose to have a regular diet of the Word of God. The Word of God. This Word is not to scare you, but it's to bring reality back. To where we understand, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. That's what it's about. Because this world has a way of sucking you into a pseudo way of thinking. A virtual reality, so to speak. And you forget that we're not going to be judged by the rules of this virtual world that we live in. But God is still in control. And the way God says it'll be is the way it'll be. Somebody says, "Oh, come on, Jerry. That's Old Testament. That's not the way it is anymore. We're under grace. This is New Testament." Really? Talk to Ananias and Sapphira. Is that right? New Testament, right? Who came in and lied about how much they were bringing in, how much they sold their land for. And Peter said, "You dare to test the Spirit of God?" Bam, they both dropped down dead right then. Is that Old Testament or New Testament? Huh? What about the guy that was giving Paul a problem and that mist fell on his eyes, blind, just like that? Blind, just like that. Is that Old Testament or New Testament? What about what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? Where he said, you know what? A lot of people are going to be shocked. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. For many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. See, they're calling him Lord. What does that mean? They think they're Christians. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Do many signs and wonders in your name? And he said, and I'm going to say to them, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, what does that mean? Yeah, you did that in church, but you had another life too. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Two lives. Yeah, you did that in church. You did the God thing. You talked the Christianese, and you did those things. But outside, see, you lived a whole different life. He said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. And listen to what Jesus said. Many are there going to be, not a few, many who are going to be shocked. See, we know the world who says, no, I'm not a Christian. No. Well, we know they're not going to be shocked. They know. But these are the people that Jesus said, many are going to say, Lord, Lord. See? Listen, Galatians 5:19. Listen to what Paul says. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. Drunkenness. You know what that is? Our culture calls it partying. Revelries and the like. In other words, that's not all. And stuff like that. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? They're not going to heaven. That's what Paul says. Those who practice those things, they're not going to heaven. Isn't that what he said? Is Galatians in the Old Testament or the New Testament? How about 1 Corinthians? Is that New Testament? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters. Fornicators, people having sex outside of marriage. Nor idolaters, people worshiping something other, living their life for something other than God. Nor adulterers, people compromising marriage vows. Nor homosexuals. You know, there are whole churches that condone this. Have homosexual pastors. And talk about the love of God. And He accepts us. He knows our preferences and so on. But see, because these things aren't taught anymore, people don't have a fear of the Lord. And let me tell you, whether you have it or you don't, the outcome will be the same. Listen. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites. I won't go into detail. You understand what that means. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. There it is, partiers, nor revilers, nor extortioners. People stealing money will inherit the kingdom of God. I love this. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Somebody say amen. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. See, listen, he's not talking about being perfect, but he's talking about a people that have come to the Lord and says, I need you, Jesus. I need your forgiveness, Lord. And the forgiveness of Jesus flows freely. But there are a whole lot of people that call themselves Christians, but continue to practice these things, deceived that they can live two lives. And God says, don't you know it ain't going to happen? We were a couple of weeks ago, we were reading in the book of Revelation in just our daily reading. My daughter came to me because we have kids read the Bible every day too. Do you know that? My daughter came and said, Dad, we're on Revelation. Is it okay if I don't read Revelation because I don't understand it? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on with monsters and things. And I said, yeah, sweet, I know it's difficult to understand. But you need to read it. Because there are things in there that you can understand. Like people who don't obey the Lord, their outcome is bad. And you may not understand what the beasts and the creatures mean, but you can understand the judgments of God. You need to read it. These things are real, aren't they? These things are real. See? Listen to what Revelation says, chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Our kids need to understand the awesomeness of this God. Not that he's a meanie. No, he's very loving, very gentle. But rejection of him, ignoring him, justifying rebellion and disobedience will bring out a side of God that is unbearable. You cannot overcome. You cannot hide from, avoid, slip through the cracks. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In other words, they couldn't hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books, plural, were opened. And another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Every day, every life, somebody in heaven is copying down the works, one by one by one. Books. And they were judged according to the works of the books. In other words, there's nobody that can say, stand there and say, I was a pretty good guy. Let's read. You hearing what I'm saying? I mean, it won't be just God saying, nah, I kind of don't think you were. Work by work by work by work by work will be read. See? They will be judged according to the works written in the books. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. See, the books will show you why. The books will show you why. But it's the book of life that will determine whether you go to heaven or hell. How many of you know that when you receive the Lord Jesus because of the fear of the Lord, so you come to Jesus and you receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus, that the pages of your book end up all blotted out with red stain. Do you know that? And whatever angel is standing there trying to read, he's saying, I can't make anything out here. I can't make anything out on that page either. I can't. And there's Jesus over there smiling. I can't make anything out. Why? Because they're all under the blood of Jesus. Isn't that right? See, that's the grace of God. That's what we understand. Oh, thank you, Jesus, when we see everybody else's book being read. And our books cannot be read. But that doesn't happen just because Jesus loves us. That happens because we had enough fear of the Lord to bring our lives to Him and allow Him to cleanse us. And allow Him to be the substitution for our sin. See? That's the grace of God. But that healthy fear of the Lord also says, like Paul said, he said, well, what shall we say then? Because grace abounds. Shall we continue in sin because it abounds? He says, certainly not. How shall we who are dead now to sin live any longer therein? In other words, the message of grace is, because we receive grace and being cleansed from sin, this grace also gives us the ability to begin to obey God like we've never obeyed Him before. God helps you to do it. You don't have to do it on your own. He helps you to do it. But if you're one of those Christians that somehow missed the concept and thought, I just pray a little prayer and receive Jesus and call myself a Christian, maybe even put a bumper sticker on my car, but I still live my life the way that I want to, then you're in for a very great shock at the end, because you never did really understand the fear of the Lord. And therefore didn't understand the grace of the Lord Jesus and what He did for you. See, I could go on and on and on how the abominable and cowardly and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. On and on. But it all says the same thing. That every single human being is a sinner. and without the blood of Jesus cleansing their sin because they've turned their heart and life to Jesus, gave Him their life, then we're all doomed. But if we've done that, listen, God is not throwing us out of His kingdom every time we sin and make a mistake. Because see, He's looking at our spirit, and our spirit has been born again and has the righteousness of God in us. But the Bible makes it very clear that if you've done that and received and tasted of the goodness of God, partaken of the Holy Spirit even. But He said, if you turn your back on Jesus and begin to go back into sin, He said, well, there is no other sacrifice for you. In other words, you turn your back on the one, Jesus. There's not some other way that you're going to get to heaven by conning your way into it or justifying how you're a pretty good guy. And I help people. I even gave that guy some money. And I'm a nice guy. I didn't steal like they stole. There's no other way to get there except for the love of Jesus, see? And what the Lord wants is, He wants for us as a congregation to understand the fear of the Lord by saying, God, we're all called to be kings and priests. So we've got to be in Your Word. I know there's somebody in here that says, I don't read too well, Jerry. And you guys talk about reading the Bible every day. I just can't comprehend it because my reading is not good. Or maybe I can't read at all. Well, that's okay. God understands that. It has nothing to do with intellect or education or the ability to read. You can get it on CD and just listen to it. Have somebody read it to you. So often I watch my mom read to my dad because he's not a very good reader. And he's been embarrassed all of his life because he doesn't read too well. But he tries. But my mom will read to him. Let me tell you, God sees our hearts. Isn't that right? He's not looking for intellect or perfection. He's looking for our hearts coming to God and saying, Lord, I need Your Word. I choose to be in Your Word. And that's why I'm going to ask you to make it a point to be in church as we're studying these things. And make it a point to get one of those Solid Life Journal reading plans in the seat back pocket there. If you haven't already started, grab a journal. $5. And if you don't have the $5, we'll give it to you. And if we don't have enough, we'll order more. But begin to make it a practice to every day go to God's Word and allow God's Word to put in the nutrient of the fear of the Lord. And you'll notice that your life will get better. And at the end of life, you'll be so thankful that you had a healthy fear of the Lord because it brought wisdom and knowledge and understanding to your life. Father, I thank You tonight for Your Word. And Lord, such a broad subject, so many different variables to it. So many unhealthy ways to look at it. Extreme ways that do not represent Your love and Your grace and Your blessing, or do not represent Your awesomeness in judgment. Lord, I pray that by Your Word and by the revelation from Your Holy Spirit that You would place into all of our hearts a healthy fear of the Lord. That we walk around afraid that You're right and yet full of peace and joy because we know we're protected by Your promises and You have us covered, not worried or anxious or fearful of a mean God, but fearful not to respect what You've called us to do and to be. Lord, I pray for people in this room tonight who have, even in this service, come to the realization that repentance is long overdue. Lord, we don't want to walk out of here without responding to You and saying, God, we hear. We refuse to be fools. We refuse to be simple. We refuse to be scorners or hard-hearted, prideful. We choose to humble ourselves and open our hearts to You and say, be my God. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Master, the controller of my life. Forgive me, cleanse me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this place tonight.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the Two Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.